presenting Hop Harrigan, America's Ace of the Airwaves.
X-4 calling control tower. X-4 calling control tower. Standing by.
Okay, this is Hop Harrigan coming in. Yes, it's America's Ace of the Airwaves. Coming in for another transcribed episode of the adventures of Hop Harrigan.
Major General James Gavin gets on the record today with a thought or two about the future security of our country. He says the wild blue yonder is going to continue to be really wild for those of us who may have to take to the air for our nation's defense. The battles of the future, says General Gavin, will be won by troop carrier pilots and airborne troops, not by missiles sent out by push buttons. General Gavin points out that if there were a war tomorrow, it would be the same kind of tough slugging match we had in World War II. True enough, the development of guided projectiles has come a long way. But General Gavin also stresses the fact that many such missiles will be released from bombers, which take them close to the target. Those bombers will need pilots and protecting planes. They'll need flyers. And it won't be dull, believe me, for the boys who will have to carry out those assignments. General Gavin believes air power is the decisive element in modern warfare. And by that he means the ability to strike quickly with every weapon at our command. And the way to do it is by troop and cargo carrier. Instead of beachheads, as we had in the last war, the war of the future, should it ever come, will see the development of the airhead, large airborne attacks with airheads established from which ground troops will begin. No one likes to think of another war with all that war means. People of intelligence realize fully that peace is the only right way to live, and through peaceful methods comes the only right way to work out international problems. In just a few minutes, I'll be back to tell you more about modern air power. So don't forget to listen. And now for our story. The crash of a small cabin plane on the Lakeville Airport and the death of its pilot, Albert Cross, has suddenly and unexpectedly saddled Hop and Tank with two grave responsibilities. The care of the pilot's 13-year-old son, Christopher, and the safety of an envelope containing a vital secret which Cross has been trying to deliver to Army Air Intelligence Headquarters in Washington, D.C. The envelope is still in Hop's possession, but Christopher has disappeared. And now, as the hall clock chimes the hour of midnight, we find Hop, Tank, and Gale in the living room of Aunt Agatha's house, across the road from the airport, talking in hushed tones, trying to figure out where the boy could have gone.
Look, all this is getting us absolutely nowhere. Now, let's go back to the beginning and see if we can get anything that adds up and makes sense.
Oh, we rehashed it more than 100 times.
What could it be? Nothing makes any sense.
Well, maybe we've forgotten something. Now, here's the way it stacks up. We put the boy to bed about 6 o'clock. You gave him a sedative, Jim.
Yes, and you should have kept him till morning.
Are you sure?
Well, I couldn't stake my life on it. Dosages act differently on different people.
Well, possibility number one. He woke up and simply walked out of the house.
Yeah, sure. He flew down to the garage, flew back with a ladder, which was under his window, and then climbed down it. Nuts.
Oh, one thing at a time, fella. Now, as near as we can remember, Aunt Agatha looked in at the boy at 10:45. He was still in bed, so it's late.
Well.
Hey, how is Aunt Agatha? You taking this all right?
Not too well. I told her to stay in her room and try to get some rest.
She's kind of taking a liking to this kid, ain't she?
Yes. She said he reminded her of you when we first time.
Yeah, that was different. I knew Hop.
You were both orphans and needed her help.
Well, look, let's get on with it. At 11 o'clock, just 15 minutes after she'd seen Chris, and I got him out to bed, and she looked in his room again. This time he was gone.
So we ran upstairs and found the ladder. I still don't see how that kid could have put it there.
He didn't. And the two men who trailed after the west boundary of the field put it there.
Why? Because they were after the kid? That seems logical.
Okay, then. Why wasn't he with them?
The answer must be they didn't get him, Tank. You heard them say that the fact we were caught might make up for having failed. But if failure, they must have meant not having credit.
But who was they, anyway? And who was in the plane? The guy they call La Pantera. And why did they go after the kid in the first place?
And how did they know he was here?
Well, after we find Chris, maybe he can supply the answer.
Yeah, maybe.
Oh, no, right back where we started. Those two men didn't find Chris. He wasn't anywhere in the woods near the airport, and he's nowhere around here. How did he get out of the house, and when? And where did he go?
Answer them questions, Sherlock.
Yes, I can. But I still think he isn't too far away. It's been only a little more than an hour since he disappeared.
No, that don't mean anything. He hitched a ride on a truck. He could be a good 40 miles away now. Clear into the next county. Not for Jenny, it's our cowboy.
Scott, come on.
Pop, you don't think it's Chris?
No, go on. He's only a kid. What does he know about flames?
Can't move.
He's hanging right through him.
Oh, did you see him?
No.
It sounds like the ship's out on the apron.
Hurry, boy.
Couldn't be Chris.
Well, why not? He's 13 years old.
Listen, I could fly when I was 14. You could take engine support.
Let's see.
Gunner, he's got the pack. Turn around the hangar. Quick. Jen, you with us? Jen. I don't know. Keep going. Got to stop that water. There. There's a kid.
This is all right. We're going to take off.
Oh, Pop, what's the use? Can't stop now.
My legs feel like they're going to drop off anyway.
Where in the world does he think he's going? Chris! Chris, come back!
I'm going to save your breath. Can't hear you.
For Pete's sake, who's that? Chris. My kid. She bought a car in the field.
That's where she went.
I'm wolf, Max.
Yeah, thanks for going, Dale. You got a head on your shoulder.
You ready?
Well, go ahead, right across the field. Head straight for the plane.
Right. I didn't need to be able to catch the ball on that car.
Good for you. We can catch him now?
He should be able to.
Yeah. Hey, stop at the head of the runway. But he's checking the magneto.
Yes.
Too young to fly, is he? He knows what he's doing, all right.
Should I pull up right alongside?
No, no, go in front of us. Don't give him a chance to take off.
Better move fast.
Hold tight.
That's it. Right on the runway. That's it, the jump tank.
That's
it. Jesus. Try to turn off. Come on.
Hurry up.
Right. Cliff. Wait.
Wait, Cliff. Grab the left wing. I'll get the other one.
Okay. Cliff, cut the engine. You can't take off.
Come on. Now, play nice. You ain't going
to
hurt you.
That's better. Here, Phil. Okay, now, Chris. Come on. Climb up. Come on, fella. Open up and climb out. Chris, can't you hear me? Chris.
What's the matter with him? He's
staring at Chris, open up, will you?
Come on, kid. Snap out of it.
Nothing's wrong.
That's right. It scared the devil.
Chris, please, open up.
He moved an inch.
Thanks, this is impossible.
Right. Yeah. They have to rip the fabric a little.
I'll go around to the other side. Push the window down.
Oh, never mind. I've got it. Yeah.
Good work. All right now, Chris. Come on.
Come on, kid.
What's going on?
Dale, come here, quick.
All right, I'm coming.
Thanks. Lift them out of the plane, will you?
Yeah, sure thing. Come on now, Chris. Let me help you.
What's the matter,
Chris? Something's wrong with the boy.
It's like a statue.
Stop talking and get him out.
We ain't gonna hurt you, honestly, Abel. You're a pal. We want to help you. Look here, I just lifted him out of the plane. He ain't moved. He ain't said a word.
Mm. His pulse is racing. Oh, it's covered with perspiration.
Well, he understood me when I told him to cut the engine and turn the switch off. Then he just sat there and stared.
Hoppy suffering from shock.
Shot?
Yes, he's frightened.
Of what?
Of everything that's happened tonight. That's why he tried to take your plane. He was running away. And then he stopped him. It was the last straw.
Well, what can we do to snap him out of it?
Nothing now. Can't get him into the car. We'll take him back to the house.
Roger.
Okay, Chris.
Pop, you coming?
You go on ahead. I'll patch you to get back to the hangar.
Oh, all right.
Well, Gail, he'll be all right, won't he?
I think so. It's a terrible shock. He's going to have another one when he finds out his father's dead. We need our help badly.
He needs our help, and we need his help. Where's this merry-go-round going to end?
Shaking his head in a hopeless gesture of despair, Hop turns his attention to the cub. Events have piled up so fast that, for the moment, the young pilot is confused and completely unaware that danger lies ahead. Danger stemming from both the boy and the all-important envelope. We'll bring you the gripping climax of today's episode in just a moment, gang. So stand by. In talking of modern air power, Major General James Gavin has pointed out that the significance of air power has changed a great deal in recent years. In World War II, it meant bombers, fighters, transports, and reconnaissance planes. It meant all the things we saw happen during the last war. But aerial warfare of the future may see a great many things transferred to the air, which formerly took place only on the ground. Such things as the airhead, which we knew as the beachhead, may become the new road of attack. Now, this means more and newer types of aircraft will have to be developed, just as we had to develop newer types of ships and boats. All kinds of new engineering equipment will be required. But when you move into the air, you have to have equipment for air. You can't work with the same materials you use on the ground. And fellas and girls, there's very little of this job that can be done sitting at a desk pushing a button. The men who are responsible for protecting our nation are trying to keep up with all the possibilities that may develop. General Gavin reminds us of the Confederate cavalry general who said, "To win, get to our fastest with the most." General Gavin thinks that's just about the best definition of the proper use of air power there is. But it means flyers and planes and materials, all designed to fit in with the modern concept of future air power. It means air-minded personnel who can get their minds off the ground when it comes to facing new problems. New materials will be needed to enable the designers to develop newer types of planes, more compact, more rugged, or more whatever the air planners feel is necessary. The push button, the atom bomb, they're both in the future. But military leaders like Major General James Gavin feel a modernized version of air power is also necessary. So, fellas and girls, remember, America needs flyers. And now, back to our story. A twin-engine Cessna cabin monoplane circles high over Lakeville, out of earshot of Hop and Tank, down in the field. At the controls, staring through the night sky at the tiny pinpoint of unwinking light which marks Aunt Agatha's house, is a woman dressed in a black leather flying jacket and black whipcord breeches. Her dark eyes glow in hot anger as she turns back to a man who literally cringes beneath her gaze.
Rupee thunder! To make a new Scarlet make a fool of you!
I have told you he was not there. Garcia and I could not find him.
He must have been in the house. Why did you not look for him?
It could have been too dangerous.
Dangerous? Where are you? Were you not? Where?
See, but we could not be sure. These two men, Harrigan and Tinker, are very clever.
Yes, Harrigan and Tinker. You have them in your power. You let them get away also.
They were too quick. They caught us by surprise.
It would seem that you are always being surprised. And what of the envelope? Wait, answer me.
It was not in the boy's room. We could not find it.
Santa Maria, you could not find it. How blind can you two be?
Please, do not be angry. We tried our best. And now poor Garcia, undoubtedly he is dead.
Oh, my heart bleeds for him. At least now he will not plunder my plans any longer. As for you, I will deal with you later. Now I see I must take care of this problem personally.
What will you do?
I do not know yet. But mark my words, Ramon. Mark them well. I will not fail. Tomorrow, either the boy or the envelope, perhaps both, will be mine.
Now, Mr. Controls overhaul, the girl in black sends the plane roaring through the night, away from Lakeville, leaving behind a grim threat to Hop and Tank and Chris. Gang, there's action and suspense ahead, so don't miss a single episode of Hop and Tank's new adventure. Tune in and fly with Hop Harrigan, America's ace of the airwaves. Come on, Hop, it's in your same time, same beautiful station. Hop Harrigan is a transcribed, copyrighted feature appearing in All American Comics magazine.